Well, good morning, Hope Church. A very warm welcome to Hope Church Online. My name's Mark. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. And just really want to welcome you this Sunday morning to Hope Church Online. So pleased that you're joining with us from your home, whether that be in London or anywhere else around the world. Please, can I encourage you to comment in on the live feed. Do ask any questions, do comment on the preach, do put in any prayer requests and do engage with one another. Last week, we began a new preaching series over the next 4 weeks. And we looked at the topic of how do we have peace? How can we have God's peace in these challenging times? We're studying a famous passage in Scripture. It's actually the most underlined passage in Kindle. People who have the Bible on Kindle, it's the most underlined passage. So I'm going to read it. It's Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to us, writing to the church in Philippi. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everybody. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything of such excellence, anything worthy of such praise, think about these things. Paul, in these verses, challenges us to do 4 things. And if we do these 4 things, we will enjoy God's peace, the peace of God in verse 7. And I want you to think about it as 4 tools that we're going to look at, 4 tools to use to see this promise of peace. Let me warn you, let me say to you honestly that it takes some work on our behalf to enjoy God's peace. But God wants to say to each one of us that even in the midst of this global pandemic, God's peace is there for you. You can rest in peace when the rest of the world is in chaos. Last week, we looked at the first tool, which was verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We looked at celebrating God's goodness. Rejoice that God is sovereign. Rejoice in God's grace. Well, the truth is that when we are anxious or stressed or worried about life, we often then react. Outbursts of anger, accusing people of this, left, right, and center, saying horrible things that just suddenly tumble out of our mouth, lashing out at those who are close to us, near to us, and dear to us. So often, those reactions are because of a deep-seated anxiety and stress that we have in our life. Many of the arguments that you have with your husband or wife are because there's a deep-seated anxiety and stress underneath. I know as a fact, sometimes I will shout at the kids, get annoyed at the kids about absolutely nothing because I am anxious about something else. I am stressed about something else. And then it will come out in an angry tone. It will come out by shouting at one of the children for doing nothing at all. You get in the car, you go to do some shopping, go to the supermarket. Someone pulls out in front of you. You give them something. You shout, you're annoyed, you press on the horn and the hooter and you're so annoyed, road rage and a small respect. Why? Because you're anxious, because you're stressed. Because underneath is that undercurrent, that undercurrent of anxiety that so many of us live with. So today I want to look at the second tool that Paul gives us in verse 5 and 6. It's the tool to ask God for help. God, we need help. I need your help to enjoy peace and to battle anxiety. Verse 5 says this: let your gentleness be known or be evident to all. Now that word gentleness in the Greek is epikes, and it basically is a temperament that is seasoned and mature. In other words, it's someone who is level-headed, someone who is steady, and someone who is calm. And they exude a gentleness that is evident to all. Friends, families, co-workers, they exude a calmness, a gentleness, a steadiness in times of crisis. There's no lashing out, there's a calmness. And so the question is, how do we get that in our lives? How can we be calm when others are anxious? How can we stop lashing out when times are difficult? And here's what I want to give you. Two things. The first one, the Lord is near. Now you may be struggling at this time and you may feel like you are alone. But let me tell you, if you're a Christian, there is never a moment in which you face life in which you are alone. God is near. You see, God repeatedly pledges this throughout the pages of Scripture. To Abraham, in the book of Genesis, God gives a promise. And the promise is this: I will be with you. Do not be afraid. Genesis 15, verse 1. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I am with you. To Hagar, a few chapters later, God says, do not be afraid. The Lord has heard. The Lord is at hand. After Moses dies, God says to Joshua, Joshua 1 and verse 9, do not be dismayed, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is near. He is there. God was with David even in his adultery. Even when he messed up, God was still there. God was with Elijah even when he doubted, even when he ran away, God was near. And then, of course, through Jesus, God came as flesh and blood, as Emmanuel, God with us. God became a man, lived on this earth, died in our place and rose again. And then in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, God came to be with all believers through the Holy Spirit poured out upon all people. God is with us. God is in us. His Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of you. He guides you. He leads you. He is your counselor. He is the one who is there with you. Please don't indulge the lie that God has left you. God has not left you. The Bible says very clearly that God will not leave you or forsake you. Now, we are all facing challenges right now, but one thing we don't do is we don't face those challenges alone. You see, isolation creates a downward spiral of anxiety and worry. It's why it's so important that we remind ourselves that God holds us in his hands. The Psalm 118 and verse 6 says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. The Lord is near. Because the Lord is near, we can be anxious about nothing. Let me remind you of something. You may think this is obvious, but let me remind you that the book of Philippians was a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And this letter was written as a letter. It didn't have chapter breaks and verses. They came in the 13th and the 16th century. So if you read this as a letter, it's meant to roll from one sentence to the next. And it goes, the Lord is near, therefore do not be anxious about anything. Can you see how important this is? If we remind ourselves that the Lord is near, it will have a massive impact on our anxiety and stress. If we know that we're not alone, it will help us when we battle anxiety. It will give us a peace knowing that we are not alone, but that God is with us. Let me illustrate this from a story in the life of Jesus. It's a very well-known story that many of you will know. It's the feeding of the 5,000. And it's a story where Jesus tells his disciples to feed the multitudes. The crowds have come to listen to Jesus. And Jesus says that the disciples should go and find food for them. Let me just read a few verses in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 5-6. Lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Jesus said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. It's a serious situation that the disciples find themselves in. 5,000 men, plus women and children, you're looking at about 15, 20,000 people have come to listen to Jesus. And the disciples want to send everyone away because they're like, we haven't got any money to pay for lunch. Guys, go and get your own lunch and then come back and hear Jesus in the afternoon. Go to the nearest town, go to the nearest village. And the disciples, if you read the story, they're anxious. They're stressed out. They're frustrated. They see thousands upon thousands of hungry stomachs and know how little money they have and how impossible it would be to feed everyone. They're stressed, they're anxious. But should they be? Should they really be? Because shouldn't they really be a bit more at peace? Because who's standing there with them? Jesus is standing there with them. And in their time with Jesus, they have already seen Jesus heal a leper, Jesus calm the storm, Jesus heal a paralytic, Jesus raise a girl from the dead, Jesus drive out evil spirits, Jesus change water into wine, just to name but a few of the miraculous things that Jesus has done. You see, did any of the disciples not pause long enough to think, well, Jesus raised a little girl from the dead, I wonder if he might have a solution to feed 5,000 people. But unbelievably, in the whole story of the feeding of the 5,000, not one of the disciples asked Jesus for help. You see, the disciples, in the first part of the miracle, they act as if Jesus wasn't even there. They're thinking, we haven't got any money, this is not possible. I was just wondering, you know, how on earth did Jesus keep quiet? Didn't Jesus go, hold on guys, look, it's me, I'm here, ask me and I'll help. Have you forgotten what I did yesterday? Have you forgotten what I did last week? Why don't you ask me and we can have this situation sorted? Finally, a little boy brings his lunchbox to Andrew, who then mentions this to Jesus. Let's read verse 10 and 13 of John chapter 6. Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 loaves that they had eaten. The disciples didn't spend a penny that afternoon. And yet there was 12 baskets of food left over and 5,000 men, probably 20,000 people, fed that lunchtime. Their anxiety was needless. Jesus was near. Now listen, you're not facing 5,000 people to feed, but we are in a global pandemic. Some of you may have relatives who are sick and unwell. Some of you may be fearful of losing income or losing your job, and how are you going to pay the rent, and how does the future look? But what we so often do is that we have a problem and then we look at the limited resources that we have. We look at our limited energy, our limited wisdom, our limited patience, and then we get anxious. Problem? What have Mark got? What have I got? Anxiety. It's not going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to deal with the problem. I don't know how we're going to get through. I don't know how this works. Anxious, 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 anxious. Let me challenge you to think differently. You see, we should start with Jesus. Start with the one who is with us and in us and beside us. Start with Jesus. Start with his resources. Start with his strength. Start with his power. Remind yourself of the times that Jesus has helped you face the impossible in the past. Remind yourself of a time where Jesus has met your every need. Turn to Jesus first. He is near. He is with you. In his book, The Dance of Hope, author Bill Frey tells this story, a story from his childhood. He remembers the day when he tried to pull a stump out of the ground. At the time, he was 11 years old, and one of his jobs was to gather firewood and kindling for the household fire. And the best wood, the best bits of wood, were the ones that had been saturated in resin, and therefore they would burn much more easily. And one particular day, little 11-year-old Bill Frey had found this large stump in a clearing, and he tried to get it out. He pushed and pulled, and he crowbarred, and he dug round, and he did everything he could to try and get this stump out of the ground, but nothing. He was still struggling about 2 hours later when his father came home from work. "Oh," his dad said, "I think I see your problem." "What's that?" little Bill Frey asked. "You're not using all your strength," his father replied. Little Bill Frey exploded. "How do you know how hard I've worked? I've been here for 2 hours, I've pulled, I've pushed, I've dug, and still I can't get this stump out of the ground." "No," the father said again, "you're not using all your strength." "What do you mean?" Bill Frey asked. "You haven't asked me to help yet." You see, life, the life of peace, the life that God wants us to live, a life where we're at peace, is hard work. Worries and anxieties have deep roots. Extracting them is tough. But what we need to do is to present them to our Heavenly Father and ask for help. Jesus is near. Jesus is close. Ask for his help. Second thing, and final thing, not only is Jesus near and we're to ask him for help, but prayer is the key and not despair. Prayer, not despair. You see, until this point in the passage that we've read, Paul has been reminding us about God's character, that he is sovereign, that he is merciful, that his presence is with us. Now in verse 6, he calls us to act, to do something. He calls us to choose prayer over despair. He calls us to pray about everything in our lives. Pray about the email we're to send. Pray about the phone call we're to make. Pray about what to do with our time. Pray about every moment of every day. You see, peace happens when we pray. That's the key. I want you to underline, I want you to write up somewhere. I want you to remind yourself that peace happens when people pray. Now, interestingly, in verse 6, in the passage, the terms prayer and supplication and requests are all made. And they're all similar but different. So prayer means general devotion. When you say prayer, it can include worship, it can include adoration. It's an umbrella term, prayer. It's a general term for our prayer. Supplication suggests humility. It suggests getting down on our knees to one who is greater and higher than us and humbly offering our requests. And requests are specific asks. They're praying for a particular problem and naming it by name. Jesus said something very interesting to the blind man in Luke chapter 18 and verse 41. You see, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you think, well, that might be obvious. Surely Jesus, blind man, needs to see. But Jesus wants this blind man to articulate his specific request. He wants him to verbalize and say what it is that he needs. And Jesus wants the same from us. Let your requests, it says in verse 6, let your specific needs be made known to God. Just another couple of examples from scripture. You know, at the wedding at Cana, when Jesus turns water into wine, Mary doesn't come to Jesus and say, we need help. The wedding's a disaster. No, she comes to Jesus and says, they have no more wine. Specific request. Jesus, can you turn the water into wine? Can you sort out this issue? In the parable that Jesus tells of the needy man in Luke chapter 11, the friend in the parable says, lend me 3 loaves. Specific request. Not just give me something to eat. I need 3 loaves. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is struggling and sweating blood, Jesus makes a specific request. Take this cup from me. So I just want to drill down for a moment on why specific requests are so important when we pray. And I think they're vital for 2 reasons. There may be many more, but I'm going to pick 2 reasons. Firstly, a specific prayer is a serious prayer. Let me illustrate that. You see, if I say to you, do you mind if I come over to your house sometime? You're going to say yes, but you're probably not going to expect me to come. You won't take that seriously. But suppose I say to you, can I come over to your house on Friday night? I've got a problem at work. I need your advice. I'll turn up at 7 and I'll be gone by 8 o'clock. You'll know that I am serious because I've been specific in my requests. And you see, there's something about prayer that when we pray specific requests to God and make them known, He knows that we are serious. Second thing, a specific prayer is an opportunity to see God at work. When we see God respond in a specific way to specific requests, our faith grows. The best way to do this, by the way, is to write things down. Write down your prayer requests and then you will see an answer to those prayers. Let me just give you one example from scripture. You may not know this example, maybe new to you, but I think it's a brilliant example of what I am talking about. In the book of Genesis, Abraham's servant is sent to get a wife for Abraham's son called Isaac. sent to find a wife. And you think, well, how does a servant select a wife for someone? Well, he prays about it. Let me read Genesis 24, verse 12 to 14. This is the servant, and this is what he prayed. O Lord, God of my today, show me steadfast love. Give me success to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young women to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have steadfast love to my master. What does the servant do? He prays for success and he prays for specific dialogue. For specific dialogue at the well. I mean, you couldn't get more specific and exact than what the servant prays. He then steps out in faith and he goes to the well. And verse 15, the following verse says, before he had finished speaking, Rebecca appeared. And Rebecca said those exact words that he prayed about. The servant had an answered prayer. You see, it's not about some formula to success. When we pray specific prayers, we're praying to our Father in heaven, who loves us. You know, in fact, it's honoring of our Father when we ask specific things. We would all ask specific requests of our earthly Father, not just help us, Dad, but, you know, Dad, could you do X or Y? God loves to respond to the specific requests of his children. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says this, cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. That word casting, it is an act of intentionally relocating an object, throwing it from one place to another. It's used elsewhere in scripture on Palm Sunday, when the disciples prepared the colt for Jesus to walk into Jerusalem. The Bible says in the King James Version in Luke 19 that they cast their garments onto the colt. They took off their jackets and they put them onto the donkey. It also says that the crowd cast off their garments, their cloaks, and put them onto the street, so that Jesus could arrive as a king into Jerusalem. Let this casting, throwing onto the Lord, be the first thing that we do when anxiety and bad news strikes. Let us cast our anxiety onto Jesus. Do it specifically and do it intentionally. Well, think of it in another way. Think of your teacher at school, the one who helped you through your difficult subject, maybe maths or French or English or whatever it was, the teacher who said, look, come to me when you're struggling and I will help you. I will help you do your algebra. I will help you with your spellings. I will help you with your French verbs. And then when you struggle and when it's difficult and you can't do your homework, you would go directly to your teacher and say, could you help me? You said, could you help me? You would do that immediately, again and again and again. And that's what we're to do with the Lord. We're to take our anxieties and our problems and our struggles directly to him. We're to remind the Lord, Lord, you said that you would walk with me through the waters. Lord, you said that you would lead me through the valley when times are tough. Lord, you said that you would never leave me or forsake. As someone once famously said, the pathway to peace is paved with prayer. I love that. The pathway to peace is paved with prayer. I tell you, you will have fewer anxious thoughts the more that you pray. You will be more at peace with the world and your family and your friends the more you pray. God is near. Let's turn to prayer and not despair. Let me close with a challenge. We're in a crisis. Right now, this is a crisis which is keeping on going. And it's a challenge which I want to give to you, which is to act, which is to pray through these difficulties. And let me be really practical. This is what I wrote down this week on my own off the back of this preach to put into practice. And it's SAS, special forces, special times. We need special forces. And this is the three things that I'm going to do this week. I want to be specific, S, specific with my prayer requests. Write them down. Be specific if I need help in a particular area. Be specific. Write things down. Go to my Father with specific prayer requests. Secondly, A, alarm. Alarm. This may sound funny or weird to you, but I'm going to set an alarm to pray at 7:14 p.m. Some people do 7:14 a.m. And it's just to be intentional and to make sure you don't slip one day through the next without praying. I want to make sure that I'm praying regularly. And if you struggle to pray, I would say set an alarm. Why 7:14? Because it's the prayer from Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, then I will hear their prayer. They will turn from their wickedness and I will heal their land. It's just a time. It's just a moment. It's just a reminder to pray. And finally, S. So specific, alarm, and S is seeds. When you pray, think that you're planting seeds. You see, when we pray, we want speed. God, answer it now, no. But no, when you pray, you are planting seeds. And that's what God's about. He's about seed speed. Not about instant speed, but about seed speed. And I want to say, keep on sowing your seeds of prayer. Keep on praying. Keep on sowing. Keep on going. So my prayer is that at this time, we would find peace. That we would ask the Lord for help. Remember, tool one, celebrate His goodness. Tool two, ask God for help. He is near. He is close. Turn to prayer and not despair. Now I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship. We're going to worship and come boldly to His throne of grace in worship. Let me encourage you to connect online, share this message, write comments, do email in, do phone us if there's prayer requests or anything that we can do. Let me pray. Father God, I thank You for this wonderful reminder that Jesus is near. Jesus is with us. None of us are going through life right now alone. We might feel like it. We might feel isolated. We might feel alone. But none of us who are believers are alone. The Lord God is with us. Lord, I pray we would turn to You for help. We would be specific with our requests. We would turn to prayer and not despair. And I thank You that, Lord, peace comes when we pray. When we cast our anxiety and cast our burdens onto You, then peace comes. And my prayer for my brothers and sisters in Christ this week is that we would experience peace as we pray. As we put this into practice, we would experience the peace of God that transcends all understanding as we pray and cast our anxieties onto the Lord.